So I am just sitting here and I'm thinking about Lyra. Thank you for the scripture reading. Hunsu, thank you for the song. Brother Bill, thank you for the prayer. Catherine, you just jumped out there and blessed us big time. And we need this, don't we? We need to hear from others. We need to be able to see others. Think about what is going on in our world right now. We are living in an ongoing pandemic. Sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? Our normal way of life, we would use words like disrupted, upended to describe what's going on each and every day. There's an uncertainty, obviously, about the economy. And then maybe something else that we've become too comfortable or familiar with, the political climate in our country. When I think about it, the words I would use to describe it are contentious, divisive, at times even seditious. So for all of us, we have good reason to be concerned. But thank God, because of our faith in Christ, we can push back against worry and fear, and we can look to Scripture for direction and understanding. So this morning, I want to start kind of a mini series of messages, understanding for times like these. And if you have your Bibles open, I'll be reading out of James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone, then, knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Reassuring words. Convicting words from God's word to us. I remember some of the best advice I have ever received. I was probably in my 20s at the time, and it actually was an insurance man that I knew that shared this with me. Plan your work and work your plan. How many of you, maybe just by raising your hand for a moment, you'd say, I've heard that too. I've been familiar with it for a number of years. No one knows what the origin of that saying is, and yet its usage is extensive. People like Vince Lombardi, Margaret Thatcher have used it. When I was putting this message together, I was surprised to find out that Michigan State University includes it in a title for a document that they hand out to people who are working on their PhDs. That title reads, Plan Your Work and Work Your Plan, Essential Character Competencies for PhDs. There's a familiar blogger who, describing or referencing that phrase, has said, Irrefutable Law of Success. And then what I thought was maybe most interesting is that the usage of that one phrase goes all the way back to the 1800s, and it was used in sermons. A lot of verses out of the book of Proverbs would support the statement. Here's one that I'd like to read for you, Proverbs 21 and verse 5. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. So, what was James trying to tell us then? He warns us, he cautions us, he advises us in some personal and direct ways. But could I say that he was not in no way suggesting that we ignore common sense or biblical wisdom? In fact, can I go as far as to say that if we do, we're being irrational and we're being irresponsible? The Bible actually tells us to plan ahead. There's a really good example out of the book of Proverbs, chapter 6. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. There's no other way we could understand those two verses than this being God giving us a timeless proverb that just simply says, you need to plan ahead. And I don't like fire ants. I'm sure none of you do. But we can look at any, species of ants and realize they sometimes work with a logic, with a practicality that we somehow overlook or omit. So I don't think James is telling us that we shouldn't plan ahead. And he's definitely not telling us to not work hard. Reading out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. So there are people all around the world today, those who are religious, those who are not religious, they understand these values, and I'm glad that they are reinforced for us in scriptures. If we want to position ourselves for the greatest amount of happiness and success in life, we need to plan ahead. We need to work hard. We need to use good judgment. And we need to make sure that we're not lazy. So, if James isn't telling us to ignore common sense and biblical wisdom, in those verses that we read earlier at the beginning, what was he telling us? He was telling us that it's foolish. He was telling us that it's dangerous for us to live as though God doesn't exist. We don't know what's going to happen. We know that life goes on. Have we thought about this? Even when we're doing our best, even when we're working our hardest, our plans are not foolproof. Reading out of the book of Proverbs again, chapter 19, verse 21. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. How many of us came up with a plan at one time or another? We thought it was the best idea. In fact, we wondered if anybody else in the world had had an idea that great before. Only to find out, when we started trying to execute it, it went nowhere. It produced nothing. Our plans may or may not work out. What God is telling us, what James is telling us, we need to learn how to seek God's will and not our own. And I think sometimes that's a mistake that even people of faith, people who believe in Christ, we are just as prone to make that mistake as anyone else. We dream up our plan. We don't sometimes consult God as we should. And then we get out in the big middle of whatever we're doing and we're asking God to bless this mess. So maybe we could stop for a moment this morning and we could say, God, thank you for the ability to plan. Thank you for the understanding that you give us. Thank you for the advice we can get from others. But Father, when we're looking at life and we're trying to figure out how to go forward, especially in times like these, remind us that we need to seek you first. Remind us that we need to purpose in our hearts to better understand what your will is. Here's a prayer that I shared, I think, in one of our monthly prayer services that I go back to time to read it for myself, but this morning I'd like to share it with you. This is another day, O Lord. I know not what it will bring forth, but make me ready, Lord, for whatever it may be. If I am to stand up, help me to stand bravely. If I am to sit still, help me to sit quietly. If I am to lie down, help me to do it patiently. And if I am to do nothing, let me do it gallantly. Make these words more than words, and give me the Spirit of Jesus. Amen. So let's stop for a moment. Let's think about James. Let's think about the advice he's giving us. Let's remember that his writings are the Word of God. And what that means is that they were divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit. They've been collected in the books of the Bible so that we could have them, we could read them, we could study them, we could apply them. And I think God wants us to know that our plans are not foolproof. There's something else that I think God wants us to know. We are not calling all the shots. I don't know what your thoughts or feelings about this illustration will be, but bear with me. This past Monday, it was not a good day for our president. I don't know if you listened in on the presidential briefing or if you happened to see some of the stories that were in the news, but he actually said this publicly. When somebody's the president of the United States, the authority is total. And then when there was some pushback from the people in the audience, or actually the press corps, he replied and said, "And that's the way. It's got to be." Well, that was on Monday. And if that story got your attention, you'll also know, if you tracked with it, that by Tuesday, our president was again trying to come up with a face-saving explanation. And yet, in some ways, I don't know that he really accomplished what his goal was, because he said he was authorizing governors to decide for themselves when to reopen their states. But he never really tried to explain why it was necessary for him to give them his permission. And as I tracked that story during the week and others that followed, it made me just shake my head. But the thought that really came to mind as I followed it, we do the same thing sometimes, don't we? What's that phrase? Open mouth, insert foot. We've all done it. And sometimes, just like our president, we have overestimated and we have overstepped our authority. So let's pause for a moment. Again, let's listen to what the Word of God is saying to us. Let's pull in other scripture and its advice for all of us. Reading out of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Familiar verses, but I want to shake it up a little bit. I'll read it from the Passion Translation. Here's what it says. "Most of all, I'm writing to encourage you to pray with gratitude to God. Pray for all men and with all forms of prayers and requests as you intercede with intense passion. And pray for every political leader and representative, so that we would be able to live tranquil, undisturbed lives as we worship the all-inspiring God with pure hearts." What was going on with President Trump when he misspoke? What goes on with us when we misspeak? A lot of times, it's our effort to be in control. I get it. We want to have the last word. We feel like at times that if we're in control, then things are going to be better than if someone else was in control. I started exploring that little reoccurring problem that we often have in our lives. And I came across two particular stories and quotations that blessed me, but also challenged me. One is from a lady by the name of Yasmin And in researching who she is and what she does, I found out that she was born in Egypt, but she lives in the United States, and that she is literally considered to be a Muslim scholar. She was educated in the States, and she has a big social platform throughout the world. But listen to what she has said. Many of us rely on our illusion of control. But when God makes it known to you that you're not the one steering the ship, be thankful. He has removed the illusion and forced you to rely only on Him. Can I say to you this morning, when I get ahead of myself, I'm glad that God will step in because I'm one of His children, and He'll choose a way, whatever it may be, He will choose a way to remove the illusion. And He doesn't do it because He's mean. He doesn't do it because He doesn't care. He doesn't do it because He doesn't want us to be responsible. He does it because He wants to remind us that ultimately our trust needs to be in Him. So that was from a lady who has a Muslim background. I actually came across another example from a man by the name of Jack. He's from America, but he spent an extended period of time in Thailand, Burma, and India training to become a Buddhist monk. So again, a Muslim source on one hand. Here comes a different quotation from a man with a Buddhist background. And he says, "Peace requires us to surrender our illusions of control. We can love and care for others, but we cannot possess our children, lovers, family, or friends. We can assist them, pray for them, and wish them well. Yet in the end, their happiness and suffering depends on their thoughts and actions, not on our wishes." I'm still trying to figure all of this out, folks, and I'm sure you are too. We didn't see the pandemic coming. We didn't anticipate all the fallout that we're still experiencing and going through. And so we take a step back and we try to look outside ourselves. And I've come to realize, folks, there is an enormous value in being willing to listen and to learn from others, even if they are different from us in how we live, where we live, even what they believe. I've come to realize that God, in His amazing grace, God, in His marvelous love, He blesses people all over this world with understanding and with insight that sometimes, even when we're walking in our life of faith, we may miss out on, or God has to bring it to our attention in a way that we didn't understand. So maybe the takeaway for today, understanding for times like these, yes, plan ahead and work hard. But even more importantly, remember that God is in control. Rick Warren has a quote that I also like to share from time to time. It's to all of us. "You were planned for God's pleasure. That's why we're here. God did not need to create you, but He chose to create you. He created us for His benefit, His glory, His purpose, and His delight." So just stop this morning. It's Sunday. We're not in our normal places of worship, but we've all zoomed in just so we could spend some personal time together, letting God know we love Him, letting each other know we love you. And as you look at the faces on the screen, you think about the people that are in your circle, your family, your friends. Don't miss the fact that we're only here because of God. We're here for His benefit, His glory, His purpose, and His delight. So in a moment, as we did last week, we'll have a reflection and a response time. But before we even do that, I want to read another prayer for you. And I don't always write out my prayers. In fact, seldom do I do that. But I have found so much enlightenment, so much encouragement from some of the prayers that I've come across that I read from time to time. And this is what I wish for us today. I wish for you comfort on difficult days, smiles when sadness intrudes, rainbows to follow the clouds, laughter to kiss your lips, sunsets to warm your heart, gentle hugs when spirits sag, friendships to brighten your being, beauty for your eyes to see, confidence for when you doubt, faith so that you can believe, courage to know yourself, patience to accept the truth, and love to complete you. So we're going to take a few moments. Hunsu's going to begin playing in a few moments, and when he does, I want to ask you, do you have a personal relationship with God? And if not, would you today just ask God to forgive you of your sins, to give you eternal life, to welcome you into His family? Will you ask Him to help you enjoy and to embrace what it means to be a child of God forever? And if you know in your heart that you have that personal relationship with Him, then during this reflection and response time, would you pray that prayer on behalf of another and ask that God would put those thoughts, those feelings, those beliefs in the person that you're praying for in their heart? Would you ask yourself today, God, help me to push back on the fear or the worry. Help me to have your wisdom and guidance as I plan and I work. But Father, help me to remember you're in control and my trust is in you.